would, grab your Bible and open it to Hebrews chapter 13. If you would, stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 21. Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll start with verse 1. It says, "Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will ever forsake you.' So that we continually say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?' Remember those who lead you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by various and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips, and give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your word. We're thankful for your truth. And we ask, God, that you would speak to us now and speak to our hearts, Lord, that you'd give us eyes to see and hearts to receive your word today. I pray that we can be strengthened today in your word, and that it would be activated in our life. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand. Out of all the people in the house this morning, there's strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 13. It's going to kind of be a springboard for what's going to be going on this year in 2015, because the theme this year is growing stronger. We're going to grow stronger this year. I'm going to grow stronger this year. I'm going to challenge you to grow stronger this year. And we're going to enjoy worshiping and serving and following the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, Paul says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." So we're going to enjoy serving the Lord together this year. How's that sound? We're going to have fun. Now, if you don't want to have fun this year, you can take a sabbatical, go over to some other church and be miserable. But we're going to have fun this year here at Living Water. Okay? We're going to enjoy serving the Lord. We're going to encourage one another. How many of y'all found this to be true? It's a lot easier to criticize than lift up. Amen. Have y'all found that to be true? Amen. It's easy to be critical. You know, some people think they have the gift of pointing out all the faults. You know, well, I'm just really good at telling everybody what's wrong with everything. You know, instead of being able to encourage and lift up and build one another up. So we're going to grow stronger in encouraging one another. So look at your neighbor. Let's do some practice and say, I'm glad you're here today. Look at him. Say, I'm glad you're here today. All right? Now, you think, well, hey, they didn't really mean it. You made them say it. So this time, let's go to our other neighbor and really mean it this time. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm really glad you're here today. I'm really glad you're here today. It is encouraging to be able to, you love to receive encouraging words, right? You love to receive a praise, way to go, keep going, go on. And so we're going to do that this year, okay? In Hebrews chapter 13, as you read, I don't know if you noticed some of those things, but as I was reading through that, as God brought that text to my mind, I saw several things. The seven purposes of our church are laid out there as well. And things that we can grow stronger in. And the very first thing it says is let love of the brethren continue. Our fellowship, we need to grow stronger together in our love for one another. And then he goes on and he says, that always remember to entertain strangers, to outreach, to do missions, to bless people. Why? Because some of you, whether you knew it or not, entertained angels. So keep being outward focused. He says, remember the prisoners, those that the society cast aside. You remember them, and you reach out to them. He says, marriage is to be held in high honor. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but marriage is under attack in our country. And so we're going to grow stronger this year in our marriages. We're going to focus on that this year. We're hoping to do a marriage retreat again here. We want strong marriages. We have this crazy idea, as Pastor John and myself, as we was praying together and we was looking for the year to come and thinking, what's God leading us? What's he want for Living Water Church? And we just had this crazy idea that we think husbands ought to just love their wives. Amen. Isn't that crazy? Amen. I know, really? That the husbands really ought to love their wife like Christ loved the church. Amen. And enjoy giving her a good night kiss. And waking up in the morning and being able to wish him and pray for him and say, hey, have a blessed day today. I'm praying for you. Amen. That wives ought to love their husbands. Wild, right? That wives truly love their husbands and they love the man that God's placed in their life. That we really raise kids the way God says to raise kids. So we're going to talk about parenting this year. Stronger parenting, that you are the adult, you're the parent, they are the child, and you are to train the child in the way that they should go. Not the child training the parent in the way that they should go. So we're going to talk about that this year. We think you ought to love your kids and encourage your kids and to build healthy families because there is a world around us, and some of you have experienced this, that come from broken families. Many of you maybe have come from broken homes, broken families. You've been busted up. And can I just tell you, everybody in the world is broken people. We're all broken people. We're all broken people. Some of us have been put back together by the grace of God. That's the only difference between a Christian and a non-believer. We're all broken people, but those who know Jesus have been put back together. We've been restored. We've been renewed. We've been made whole by the grace of God. Still living in a broken world. And so what in the world could we do to help bless this community is really develop good, healthy, strong marriages and families. What do you think? So we're going to focus on that. We're going to build stronger, we're going to grow stronger in our finances. He says, be content with what you have. Don't be greedy for money. We're going to grow stronger in our stewardship of being able to handle our money. Isn't that great news? I mean, come on. There's a commercial a few years ago. This guy, he was the perfect picture of most Americans. He's riding around in a lawnmower in his yard, perfectly manicured lawn. It's green. He's got this really nice house, a white picket fence, and he's talking about all these great things he has. And he's cutting the grass, and they say, well, how are you doing this? And he turns around, and he says, I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. And that's most Americans. And what if we could really do money the way God said to do money and it wasn't a burden, but it was a blessing. How's that sound? So we're going to grow stronger in that. We're going to grow stronger in our faith. He said, don't be tricked by just different teachings. Don't follow these teachings that aren't of God. So we need to be grounded in our faith. That's why Wednesday night's going to be important. That's why if you're able to be here on Wednesday night, you need to be involved in the disciples' path. You need to be involved either in the Beth Moore study or the men's study. We need to grow stronger in our faith. How's that sound? Sound like a pretty good place to be this year? Now, if you ain't worried about stronger family, stronger finances, stronger marriages and parenting and all that, then this ain't the church for you this year, because we're going to focus on that, okay? This is going to be a year where we intentionally engage in these things. We're going to grow stronger in our worship. He says, give the sacrifice of thanksgiving, of praise from our lips. Stronger in our worship, in our service, in our learning, all that. And we're going to do it, and we're going to have fun. We're going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy this year. I don't know about you. Now, is it going to be easy? No. Are there going to be problems? Yeah. Will there be difficulties? Yes. But I'm going to face them with joy. Okay? So in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, he says, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you're also doing. Look at verse 12. He says, and this is again, this is another text that this can kind of seem self-serving as a pastor, but it is in the Bible. And since we preach the Bible here, we have to discuss it and talk about this. He says, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. It says, live in peace with one another. Hebrews talked about this as well. It said to, listen to what the leaders are leading you, and because you can make their job a joy or a burden. You realize that you can be a blessing to me and John or a burden. You realize that? As a church member, you can either be a blessing to pastors or you can be a misery to pastors. Okay? And you got to pick what you're going to do. I mean, if you're going to be a miserable church member and a thorn in our side, then we're going to welcome you to take a sabbatical and just go somewhere and be a thorn in that pastor's side. And then come back if you want to. But I'm going to have fun this year. I'm going to enjoy the Lord. I'm going to enjoy working with you, serving with you, doing life with you in Jesus, and we're going to have fun. What we need from you, what Pastor John and myself need from you, we need your prayers. We need you to pray for us. We need you to support what God's doing here. If you like what God's doing here at Living Water, then hey man, let's get on board. Let's do what God's doing, and let's go at it, and let's begin. We're not interested in you being at church 7 days a week. Now, I know, the tech team, some of those guys, they seem to be out here an awful lot, and they need some help, so we're going to try to get them some help. But our goal isn't to have somebody here all the time, because here's the crazy thing we'd like for you to do. We'd like for you to have one primary area of service where that's what you do, and that's what you do. And the rest of the time, you're spending it with your family and your friends, and you're actually loving God and loving the people that you're around. And you get to go out in the world and have a good time worshiping the Lord. You don't have to be here every day. Okay? We don't want to see you here every day. You need to be living out your faith in a way that's pleasing. We need your prayers. We need your support. We need your encouragement. We need you to live faithfully for Jesus. One of the most disappointing things, a pastor struggles with is when you just go out there and act like a nut on Monday. I mean, Sunday, we're praising God. We're doing all kinds of neat things. Bless, glory, hallelujah. And then you get on your Facebook and start cussing people out on Monday. I'm like, Lord have mercy, what is going on? This is crazy. So you can either be a blessing or you can be a burden. And I pray that this year you'd say, you know what? I'm going to have fun too serving the Lord. I'm going to grow in the Lord. I'm going to grow in all my areas. And we're going to enjoy what this year's God's going to bring. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to do it together. Okay? In Romans 13:8 says this, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Don't return evil for evil. In Romans 12:8, Paul says, if possible, notice this phrase, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. If possible. Why? Because that's not always possible. Okay? How many of y'all have ever made somebody mad before? Anybody? Okay. How many of y'all have ever disappointed someone before? Anybody? All right. We all have, right? We all have. And if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. And we've all made somebody mad. We've all disappointed somebody. We've all maybe said something we shouldn't have said. We all maybe have done something we shouldn't have done. You know, I know not you, but maybe your neighbor did this, right? We've all been there. We've all done that. And so what happens when we offend someone or when we make someone mad or we hurt someone, what do? Well, we go to them and we say, you know, we're sorry. We say, I'm sorry that I wronged you, or I'm sorry that I disappointed you, or I'm sorry, whatever. We just simply say, we're sorry, right? We ask for forgiveness. Now, if the person forgives us, then wonderful, right? If the person doesn't forgive, you can't do nothing about it. You've done your part. That's all you can do. That's all you can do is say, I'm sorry, I messed up, will you forgive me? It's up to them to forgive. Now, if you've been wronged and you've been hurt and someone comes to you and asks for your forgiveness, what should you do? As a believer, you should forgive them, right? So as far as it lies in you, be at peace with all people. And that is a great place to be able to live in, okay? Because it's not saying that you'll never hurt someone or you'll never make someone mad or you'll never do anything wrong, because we will, right? You've done it, I've done it, we've all done it. So what we do is we try to go when we make that right. And once we've done that, if people aren't willing to make that right, then that's what all you can do. Some of you might have relationships, might be with family, it might be with just work co-workers. It may be wherever, and you have this friction or tension, and maybe you need to just go and say, hey, will you forgive me? Or you need to release and forgive someone. So this year, maybe you need to grow stronger in that. We're going to talk about friendships this year and how we are to have healthy friendships. And Roman, if we keep going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we have verse 14, he says, we urge you, brethren, now he's speaking to everybody. He's saying, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Admonish the unruly. Now, we talked about encouraging one another, and that's good. And how many of y'all have played on teams before, and you've had a coach encourage you? That's good, right? You've had a coach encourage you. You need that extra push, that extra encouragement. How many of y'all have ever had a coach get on you? Sometimes you need that too. Sometimes you need a coach just to get up in your face and get you going and say, hey, you know, come on, to kick you in gear, right? We've all had that moment. There's also the necessity on teams sometimes is when players admonish each other, where players kind of hold each other accountable. Where another teammate says, hey, man, you're not doing it the way, you're not giving it all you got. You're shorting on the drills. You're not pushing the weight like you need to. Come on, man, pick it up. And sometimes teammates, they have just players' meetings where they hold each other accountable. And this is what this is saying. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Those of you who are spiritually mature, those of you who are solid in your faith, when you see other believers acting in ways that they shouldn't, saying things that they shouldn't, doing things that are destructive to not only their life, their family, maybe even the church family, or whatever, you need to admonish them. You need to correct them. You need to be able to say, hey, you need to stop. You need to stop acting that way. You're out of order. You need to not say that. You need to not be there. You need to not take that call. You need to not go to that place. You need friends to be able to do that in your life. We're going to talk about what true friendship is and how to have healthy friendships, because if you don't have somebody that can speak truth to you, that's not a real friend. A real friend, if they see you headed down a dead end, will yell, scream, do whatever they need to help you stop so that you can turn and lead back to life. Some of you grew up in families where nobody said anything, and you just kind of like, well, you know, and everybody just swept everything under the rug, and they let people make dumb mistakes. And so what Paul's saying is, those of you who are strong in your faith, walking with the Lord, when you see someone, you see another brother and sister in Christ acting unchristlike or doing things that are hurtful and mean, then you need to correct them. And that helps, you know? That helps when you can help a friend stop what they're doing that's going to destroy not necessarily even just their life, but other people's lives and their families. Admonish the unruly. He says, encourage the faint-hearted. There are some times in life when people, man, they're just weary, right? And they're just growing weary. They're just, life is just punching them in the gut. And they need somebody just to come in and encourage them. And, you know, we've got some young mothers here, right? We got some young mothers. The worst thing, man, is what those kids, those babies, you love them, but they won't sleep in the first year of their life. And it's frustrating. Man, it gets crazy, right? Me and Michelle, we were married 4 years. We lived in Louisville 4 years. And we had one main argument. I can only remember one big argument in our marriage. Not bad, right? Just one argument in 4 years. Pretty good. And then we moved here, and Caleb was born. And he didn't sleep through the night the entire first year of his life. And so we were walking around. You know, we're trying to start this church, and we are like snapping at each other's head. Why? Because we're walking around sleep deprived like zombies. That will wear you out. And so you got to sometimes come along with these new moms and just say, hey, I have no good news for you other than to just persevere. Amen. You just got to keep on. It's perseverance of the saints, baby. You just got to keep going. Because one day, it will happen. They will sleep through the night. And you will wake up, and you will wonder what happened. And you will be like, hallelujah. And it'll be a great, the day is coming. So just hang in there. We're going to encourage the faint-hearted this morning. Hang in there, back there. Hang in there. Some people have gotten bad news. Spouse walks out. Doctor sends a report. And they're just like, they're faint-hearted. They're weary. And they're ready maybe to give up. And that's where you and me come along. And we encourage them. Help the weak. Help those young in their faith to grow. Help them who struggle to grow. And be patient with everyone. Patience. Patience. Well, I wish she would. It's always, we wish something would happen sooner, right? Patience. It takes some people a long time to learn something, right? It takes me a long time to learn some things. How about you? God is patient with us, not willing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance. In the first service this morning, Spirit of God moving in a neat, powerful way. Oh, Bill and Patty had been praying for family members. They would come to know the Lord. During invitation, here they came. Evelyn and Chelsea and their family came. And they said, we need to give our life to Jesus. Answer to prayer. Amen. Patience. Amen. Some of you may be praying for somebody, and you think, man, they'll never get saved. Just have patience. He goes on and says, verse 15, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. So how do we do that? How do we grow stronger in all these areas? I think one of the keys is in Ephesians 4, chapter 1. Ephesians 4, 1. He says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says, Paul says, be careful to protect the unity, the spirit of unity, in the bond of peace. It's important that no matter what part of organization you're in, whether it be a church, that you're united, that there's unity in a church, that there's unity in your family, that there's unity in the workplace, the place that you work, that there's unity on the team that you play in. Any time that you're a part of a group that does not have unity, it's not a good place to be in. If your family is not united, that's a horrible family to be a part of. If the place that you work is not in unity, it makes for a very bad work environment. If a church is not unified, it makes for a very bad church. In fact, when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, there was a lot of disunity in the Corinthian church. He says this in 1 Corinthians 3:1. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? He says, if there's strife and there's jealousy and there's anger and all this stuff going on, are you not just showing your fleshly and your immaturity and that you are so far away from where you need to be in Christ? That's the power of unity. When a church is in unity, it's maturing. Not that everybody is always in agreement with everything that happens or that we don't have differences of opinions, but we're unified in our mission. We have one heart and we have one beat and we have unity. Where does that unity come from? Well, if we continue reading Ephesians chapter 4 and we start with verse 4, it says this. There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope, of one Lord, one faith, and one what?
Baptism.
Baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What's he say? We are unified at the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what socioeconomic background we come from. It doesn't matter what denominational background we come from. It doesn't matter what color we are. Because we all find common ground and we all find our unity at the cross of Jesus. For at the cross of Jesus is where we all come guilty of sin. We all come begging for salvation. And every single one of us are in need of His grace. And we come, no matter rich, poor, we all come with our hands up saying, Jesus, save me. And we are unified in Christ. Jesus is our unity. We're about Jesus at this church. When we were starting in our home and we had a storefront of 15 people that nobody cared whether we were in the town or not, we still made it about Jesus, didn't we? And it's always been about Jesus, and it always will be about Jesus. And he will be what unifies us. And we all come to him and we say, you know what? He is the answer. He is the Savior. We have one Lord. We have one faith. We have one baptism. We have one hope. It is in Jesus. And we're going to enjoy that this year. And we're going to have fun. And we're going to grow together. We're going to cry together. We're going to strengthen one another together. And we're going to have a good time 2015 growing stronger in the Lord. Now, if you want to be a part of that, we say, come on, get behind it, and let's go forward. Or if you want to be all, then just take a sabbatical and come back. Because this year, we're going to have joy. I want to see your marriage stronger. I want to see my marriage stronger. I want to see your parenting get better. I want to see my parenting get better. I don't know how many dads out there are praying over your children. But if you're not, you need to. Dads, you better be laying hands on your kids every night and praying over them. Every night I pray over my daughter. I pray over Caleb. I pray God's greatness on his life. And that God would have a calling on his life, that he would do something in his life. I pray for my wife. I pray that God would continue to use her and everywhere she goes, whatever she does. But we can grow stronger. Kids' relationship to their parents, grow stronger. Be a neat year. Let's have fun. Let's enjoy this. Will it always be great? Yay, ha, ha. No, there might be some sorrow, but it's gonna be worth it. Let's grow together stronger in the Lord. We're gonna have a time of invitation after we pray, and I'm gonna ask you this. This is gonna be an opportunity for families to come and pray together. Maybe you've never prayed together as a family at the altar. You think, ooh, I can't do that. Well, maybe you just could do it this one time. I know you can pray right there where you're at. I get that. That's fine, too. But if you want to come as a family and just pray as husband and wife, if you've got your kids with you, pray with as a family. If you're here just in your, you know, you're just here together and your kids are back there in children's church, come and pray together. Maybe you're here with just a sister, a brother, a cousin. Maybe just a friend, and you say, oh, let's just pray. Let's pray God does something great this year in 2015, that I grow stronger in all these areas. But let's just see what God wants to do. How's that sound? Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that you love us, that you died for us, and that you provided grace to us even when we didn't deserve it, Lord. I didn't deserve your grace, but you loved me. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray that we would grow stronger in our faith, in our witness, in our families, in our marriages, Lord. I pray that you set that as the desire of the heart of your people. And Father, together that we would just continue to enjoy this life that you've given us. That we would walk with you. That we'd learn to love you more. May we allow you to have more of our life each and every day. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's pray. Make this a good time. Make this a good time for your family. Let's pray.